Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Omega Leadership Series show. This week we are in studio with Lori Beth Jones, best-selling author of 14 books, and the book leading our discussion for this series that we're in right now is Jesus Entrepreneur, and we're going to jump into that in a little bit, but welcome to the call, Lori Beth. Glad to have you today.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Thank you, Shelley. Thank you, Greg.
And we have with us also in the studio call Greg Reich from the Great Northwest. Welcome to the show, Greg, and tell us just our audience, listening audience, a little bit about yourself.
Thanks, Shelley. I appreciate the opportunity again to be able to spend time with you and Lori Beth. I am a entrepreneur now. I left corporate America after 27 years of a career and 3 years launched off on my own into a professional coaching career, as well as a journey of a lifetime pursuing a master's in theology and culture.
Wow. Well, that is very, very exciting. And I think fits very well, Greg, the series that we're looking at, this Omega Leader series about being a spiritpreneur. How we pick that piece up as entrepreneurs in looking at Jesus as the Omega Leader model, as Lori Beth is teaching us that. So great to have you both on the show today as we jump into this process of learning more about what it means to be an Omega Leader. And I thought it might be interesting to open the show with this text found in Matthew's Gospel, Lori, that you open this particular chapter here in the launch section, this kind of fire phase of the entrepreneur, where the spirited entrepreneur knows how to walk away. And that's going to be the focus here for the next 10 or 12 minutes or so. But you start this particular chapter with Matthew 8:21, and it says, "But Jesus said, follow me and leave the dead to bury the dead." And one of the things that just kind of popped out at me this week as I was reviewing this chapter and preparing for this time together is my one of my dear aunts passed away last week and just had her services on Tuesday of this week. And I wasn't able to get everything lined up to fly back east, the weather, the timing, the resources, everything in line to make all that happen. And there was this huge sadness, this emptiness, because she had been such an icon for me growing up in the faith, and just this kind of double water person that no matter what came her way, she held on to this anchor that she had in Christ and really was this huge example for me personally. And then I jumped into this section, Lori Beth, of he was willing to walk away, follow me and leave the dead to bury the dead. I was like, wow. So I just kind of sat with that thinking, okay, you know, that's okay. She deposited her mission into me, and I'm here to carry that mission forward. And I think that that's what the essence of this chapter could be about, especially for me. But tell us, Lori, what brought you to write these particular words in looking at the Omega Leader example in Christ?
Well, Shelley, that's very touching. I have tears in my eyes thinking about your aunt and, you know, the influence that she had in your life. And we celebrate that, her passing. And I'm an aunt myself, and I hope that someday that my nieces and nephews will say that I made a difference in their lives too. On kind of a jollier note, when you and I were texting back and forth about the show, and I, you said, Greg's going to be on it, and then I sent you a text, and I said, remind me of the chapters, and then you sent, he was willing to walk away, but our texts interacted, and so it was like, Greg's on the show, and then the next thing I saw was, he was willing to walk away. It's like, well, why did he have to walk away? No, Greg, come back. So also those, you know, dueling texts sometimes overlap and create funny messages. But willing mm-hmm. to walk away is certainly in the foreclosure mess. You know, we've all become painfully aware of that possibility, and for many, it became a reality, having to walk away from the American dream, having to walk away from a life savings, from a home that we thought was going to be our final home. But the essence of this chapter is more about leaving lesser things, that being so clear about what you came here to do, that you're willing to walk away from something else that you were doing. In Jesus's case, for example, he was a carpenter who left that very secure job and went and became an itinerant rabbi or preacher, healer, preacher, teacher, with no visible means of support. So I just always wonder what it was like in his mind as a human, divine human. You know, he had to have some wrestling there about that. And so, Greg, in your opening, you said you're now an entrepreneur and you've begun the journey of a lifetime. So share with us a little bit, what did you walk away from? What were you willing to walk away from, and why? What was it in your heart that prompted you to become an entrepreneur or a spiritrepreneur?
I think part of it was, the major part of it was the fact that I didn't really feel that I was able to live to the potential and to really to the call that I felt was on my life. I think of Jesus, going back even to the portion of scripture that we read, or even the fact that Jesus walked away from the carpenter shop. But we need to remind ourselves that even before he walked away from the carpenter shop, Philippians tells us that Christ was in the very nature of God, and he considered equality with God something not to be grasped, and he made himself nothing and took on the nature of a servant. So he walked away long before he ever walked away from the carpenter
shop. Oh, that's beautiful, beautiful. Wow.
So, you know, for me, it was just a summation of several things. But I think the biggest thing was I found myself getting into a mode of entitlement and a mode of expectation that I just really realized that I was spending so much time and energy living in the past, I wasn't really moving forward to the future. And I realized that walking away was the ability to increase my strength and expand my potential and really to improve the prospects that were out there for me. So it was a hard decision. It was a decision that now that I look back 2020, I wish I would have made 10 years earlier and done that. But it was a good way to be able to move forward and realize that I needed to expand my potential. And the only way to do that oftentimes is to be able to walk away.
Wow. I mean, this is chewy, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
Think about what you're saying there, Greg, about that sense of entitlement, and what was the other one, the other word you used?
Of expectations, unfulfilled expectations.
Yes. And I think we get that, don't we? First of all, since we're born Americans in this discussion, we are already entitled, right? And and then in this consumer culture, we have a sense of entitlement. And, I just think that's so powerful that to walk away from that back into the servant learner mode, which is what you did, if only all of us could have that clarity of calling. And certainly that is what our organization is all about, is helping people do that. And Shelley, I know you have some thoughts here that you want to share on this topic, because you also have walked away.
Sure. And it's a hard, as you've pointed out, Greg, you kind of get to a place where I think there's this mixture between the flesh and the spirit, or the corner office and the calling, however you want to look at it, what we're trying to attain and what we're trying to rise to. But then there's this voice that's always calling us. And Lori, you say, a lot of times we've heard you say, is the voice still small, and why is it still small? And I think when it switches from the small voice to the tall voice, it's when we make our move. I think for me, you know, it was a slow process of shifting from a very successful company that I was running about 8 years ago to letting go of it a little bit at a time, walking away from, you know, two contracts 1 year, three contracts the next year, another contract the third year. You know, it was about a seven-year process to let go of those contracts because I wasn't fully believing in my ability as a spiritualpreneur and in my faith that it could really happen. So it just kind of dribbled out. And Greg, you said, you know, hindsight's 20/20. Well, what if I just would have jumped in both feet, let go 7 years ago? Would I be in a different space today? Wow, I think so. I think so. But we each have to carve out this walking awayness. We each have to wear that crown or decrown or robe or derobe in a certain way, Lori Beth.
Yes, and you know, this is I'm so glad we're three talking about this. It seems to be very personal to each of us. We're having a good time. I hope our listeners are too. But I met with my coach this morning, and we are working on me redefining my notion of success, because, you know, career success and 14 books and all those things that I've strived for, worked on all my life, there's more, and there's something different, and it's a new season. She was sharing that so many people are having to redefine what success is. You know, for me, it was going to be being a real estate multimillionaire, working on my ministry kind of on the side while I wrote books, and now it's totally flipped. I mean, totally flipped. And so even I, the author of these books, if you will, are struggling with these new paradigms. What does it mean to have time that I'd never had before to invest in my family, my sister and my brother and my nieces and my nephews? What does it mean to be able to say, sure, I'll meet you for tea or coffee? I was always going through airports. So how do you, I always think of the phrase I heard about Samson, and it might have been in a play, that Samson was trained for his shoulders to bear the pillars falling, and then he had to still adjust his shoulders when the pillars were no longer falling. Both of them require an adjustment. And so this notion of being able to walk away, like Shelley, you say, what if I had just done it more suddenly? Well, we know, you being a fire earth, it wasn't in your nature to do that. And so we have to take where we are, you know, how we do things, and say, okay, this is how God made me, and it's going to happen. So I think as our listeners, and you and I, Shelley, and I and Greg too, we meet so many people who are struggling with what is their true calling, what can they do better, best to serve the Lord, you know. And I'm still amazed when I meet CEOs who wish that they were pastors, and pastors who wish that they were bread makers, and, you know, all of these notes in the wrong place. Being willing to walk away from what to what, and ultimately the to what is always the unknown. It always requires faith or risk, and that's the joyous journey, right, Greg?
It is, and you know, and risk is a tough thing to deal with. Sometimes we as people wait for permission to be able to take that risk.
Oh,
one of the most disturbing aspects of religious history to me is the fact that Israel was sent off into exile by the Lord. And in 538 BC, King Cyrus makes a decree allowing the Jews to return to their promised land. And you would have thought that they would have jumped at the chance after being in exile for 50 years. And it amazes me that out of the hundreds of thousands of Jews that went into exile, history tells us that less than 50,000 returned to Israel.
Wow. Mm.
It's crazy how, whether they were just familiar with being in exile or whether they were afraid because they knew that to go back to their promised land, they were going to have to rebuild the promise. I don't really know, but it amazes me to see people today in their comfort zone, looking for permission to move forward, but they're so afraid of the unknown. They're so afraid of going back or pursuing their promised land that many of them, even with permission, don't step out and walk away.
Wow.
You know,
go ahead, Shelley.
No, you first.
I think you were going to segue into the next chapter, right?
Well,
like a perfect
almost, but I wanted to tag on. You know, one of your tweets this week, Lori, was the question, do you really feel it's possible to earn a living, make a life doing what you love? And, wow, there were a lot of people that that jumped on that with you and commented and, you know, kind of got involved in that. You know, I think this is a calling forth time in our world and in our country and in our individual lives to carve out that peace in our society that only we can do. And, you know, could you speak to that just for a moment? I think just because so many people have, are trying to get their head around how does an entrepreneur step into that place of spiritualpreneurship?
Well, I think one of the first things that has to happen is you have to define what is enough. You have to get some earth facts on the table, which is, what is it? How much do you really need to live on? And once you start with the facts, then you know that, okay, I can do this step and this step and this step. I went to the Convene CEO Summit, and there were amazing spiritualpreneurs there. And one of them, he and his wife built a multimillion-dollar company, but they drive very simple cars. And they said, we look at the opportunity cost, that how much do we really have to drive a $60,000 car? You know, maybe a $20,000 car, say, for the kids, and then that frees up those extra payments to help bring eggs to children in Africa so they can get protein. And he wasn't saying it like he's, you know, Mr. Nobility. It was a practical measurement. He changed the unit of measurement in his life. And I think this is what we're kind of talking about, is we have to change the unit of measurements. What is success? What do we really need to live on? How much space do we really have in our house? How many square feet do we really need? All those questions. But, you know, when you get that flame in your heart, and I know, Greg, you have felt it and acted on it, and I know, Shelley, you have felt it and acted on it, and I know I have, and I know so many of our colleagues and team members across the world really have felt that flame to where it becomes the tall voice, not the small voice. So you have to make time and allow that agitation and allow that discomfort, because it's a very uncomfortable place, right? Let's admit it.
Yep, certainly is. Certainly is. We're pushing about 10 more minutes here, Lori. Tell us how you can. How does that fit into the Omega Leader model, and leads us into our last half of the discussion today?
Well, I think Greg put it personally and perfectly when he said, you know, it just grieved his heart that so many people did not return to their homeland, even when they were given permission by their king. Mm-hmm. And so many of us are waiting for permission. And I think that was one of the most beautiful things that Jesus did, was he came and gave everybody permission. You can. Mm-hmm. You can do this. You know, you have the key to open this door. You have the ability to rise up and walk. You have the ability to feed 5,000 just with a sandwich in your hand. You can do this. When so many of us have this underlying mantra or chant or theme or background music that's saying, you can't do it, you cannot do it. So Jesus busts that through and says, yes, you can. You can. Go ahead, Greg. Share something on that.
You know, it's kind of interesting because I was reading a devotional the other day in one of my leadership devotionals, and there was a quote in there by Willis Whitney, who was the first director of General Electric's research department. And he said this, he said, Some men have thousands of reasons why they cannot do what they want to do, when all they really need is one reason why they can.
Oh, wow.
And I just thought that was so true with the chapter that you wrote, that we make excuse after excuse after excuse of why not to change. And the irony is that change is inevitable, and it's going to happen anyway. And we often think about changing the world, but very few of us ever think about changing ourselves in the process.
Mm-hmm.
And the sad part about it is that change is not optional, but growth is.
Ooh, I like it.
Embrace it or fight it.
That's good. That's good.
Shelley, what would you like to share on that, on the topic?
I think from our perspective, particularly around this topic and series of Omega Leadership, sometimes it's easy for us to talk about these things and move people along a continuum or coach them into the you can do this space. But I often think of people who are in situations where they're disabled or, you know, whatever the list of reasons. I know at the end of the chapter you say make a list of all the reasons you can live your dream, including as many spiritual references as you can. But sometimes the list of can'ts, you know, people let it outweigh the can part. And these are real problems for them. I mean, blindness, amputees, chronic illness, fatigue, depression. You know, speak to us for just a minute, Lori Beth, on this kind of list, you know, from the dark side or from the crisis side, or just an accident happened. I mean, how do we overcome that to find the dream that God has for us? And we know of stories of people doing this. So speak to us a little bit about that.
Thank you, Shelley. I have, 5 minutes to address blindness, disability, depression, crisis.
We know you can. We know you can.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, so much of it is just, you know, you try not to descend into platitudes, but so much of it is attitude. And
see, and that's what I'm talking about right there. That's it, Lori Beth. It's like there's one thing that you point to that helps somebody like Christina Rapati Pierce, that was at the Reinvent Your Life workshop in January, you know, paralyzed, say, what is my mission now? Right?
Right, right.
And it's an attitude shift, and that's kind of what I was wanting you to speak to is, even the people that feel they can't, there is a can on the other side of that coin. So,
well, and if you look at the word can't, there's a cross at the end of it.
Hmm. Boy, that
a little of...
That was great. Thank you.
Yeah,
for that.
I just thought of that. So if you just turn that T into a cross, you keep looking at the cross and you've got the word can through the power of Christ. You can do this.
Mm.
You know, Christina went on and had a baby, and now she's mobilizing people to help create rehabilitation centers for younger people so they don't end up in nursing homes around people who are older and dying. You know, she's on it. She just completed a 3,000-mile hand bicycle endurance race. She's, you know, not that she doesn't have her down days, but like you said, what is her mission now? What is her mission now? So, Greg, anything you'd like to share? I love it when you're on the show, Greg. I'm so blessed by your knowledge.
Oh, thank you. I think the thing that comes to mind is, you know, we're talking about spiritpreneurs here, and we're people of faith.
Right.
And I think one of the things that we have to remember, and you really did a great job of saying can't is can with a cross at the end of it, but I think as people of faith, we have to always remember the but God factor. And one of the things I love reading when I read the Bible is I read the Bible and you'll hear someone do something and then you'll see the statement, but God. And the person that comes to mind for me is Abraham. He was a person that knew what it meant to leave. But he was also a person that spoke a lot of times in his life, I can't. And his whole issue with becoming the father of a nation, his wife Sarah was infertile. And God told him that he was going to make a nation through Sarah. And Abraham laughed at God. And in the Bible, it tells us in Genesis, it says, but God said that this would happen through Sarah. And I think oftentimes we refuse to accept the but God factor. We give up on a lot of things, and we place all of the responsibility on ourselves. But God is the author and the finisher of our faith, not us. He who's begun that good work in us is going to be the one to complete it. So when all else looks like we can't, we need to realize that through God we can, because he's the author and the
I love that. You know, I'd like to ask our listeners to go on Google and Google the Laughing Child video. I don't know if any of you have seen this, but there's an 18-month-old baby that's sitting in the couch, and the father hands the baby his rejection letter that, you know, he'd applied for a job and he got rejected. And the baby starts tearing it up and laughing. And I mean, it's gone viral because the joy of this child as he tears up this rejection letter. I mean, it's just an image of the spirit, you know, just tear down this temple in 3 days, I'll build it again. You can. And you must be willing to walk away from the false notion that you can't.
Wow. Well, thank you both Greg and Lori Beth for this time today. Any other closing thoughts or comments as you bring us to a close?
Well, I know we met Sandy Ellingson in Shreveport, and she said that she downloads our shows and listens to them while she's running on her iPod, whether she's in India or wherever she may be. So, a shout out to Sandy and all those.
Hey, Sandy.
And download, including our friends in Venezuela. And you know, we live in an amazing world with amazing technology. If anybody could, we can.
Beautifully said. Well said. Thank you both so much for your time today. Thank you, Greg, for your insights and for your sharing. We'll be back next week with Lori Beth to talk further about this Omega Leader series and process and model of how Jesus led teams and related to the people that he was with. So thank you all again, and we'll talk to everybody next week.
Thank you.
Blessings. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Lori. Bye-bye.